Our first reading today is from Psalm chapter 147, verses 1 through 11 and verse 20. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. Makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food, and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in the steadfast love. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. Our second reading today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out here to do." And he went throughout all of Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. We ask God's blessing on this, the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Allison. I want us to give that choir another round of applause. Not only is that one of my favorite images for God's divine love and care for us, but it's one of my favorite songs that expresses it. So thank you all for choosing that song. I had nothing to do with it. It was divine intervention. I believe it. All right. Please join me in a word of prayer before we hear God's words for us today. Oh, Holy One, who makes all things possible, lift us when we're weary, be our strength, and fill us with hope as we seek to serve you and our neighbor and all of your creation this day. Amen. Grace and peace to you from Jesus the Christ, the light of the world whose healing touch lifts us and empowers us to serve. Thanks be to God. And so I'd like to put a tag on my message this morning of source of strength. It seems to be the message portrayed to us in both our psalm and our Mark text this morning, as well as others that were assigned for this Sunday. And so if we think about our gospel reading of Mark, Jesus and his disciples, they leave the synagogue and they go to the home of Peter and Andrew for a meal. You see, the main Sabbath meal traditionally came after synagogue service, much like we still do today. Where do we go after church service? To lunch. One of my favorite parts. And so this verse, it reminded me of my childhood Sunday dinners. You see, our family's biggest meal of the week was always lunch on Sunday. Lunch on Sunday after worship in particular. You see, my father did not go to church, so he would wake up early Sunday morning to begin preparing the meal. You see, he was a good old-fashioned Navy chef. He loved to cook and was quite good at it. But usually our meal was roast and all the trimmings, which was pretty traditional. And you know, I really don't remember a time ever asking my father if he liked going through all of that effort every Sunday, but he seemed to enjoy it, and we all seemed to enjoy the fruits of his labor. You see, my mother would be the one to take my brother and I to church, and when we came home, Dad had this awesome Sunday meal waiting for us. And I believe that was also his tradition of growing up. I can't ever remember a time when my father was too sick to prepare the Sunday dinner. I never can. I believe it would have been a great disappointment to him if he were not able to get that meal in particular ready. And if we think about that, perhaps Peter's mother-in-law felt the same way when she found herself too sick to prepare a meal on such a special day and was expecting to host such a special guest and his disciples. Now, if you're an old movie buff like me, think back to the movie about, a decade ago called Downton Abbey. And in that movie, the staff, they're deeply disappointed and angered when they're not allowed to prepare and serve the meal for the king and the queen of England. The staff, they go to great lengths plotting and scheming to make it possible for themselves to be the ones to serve. I believe this would have been the kind of honor that Peter's mother-in-law would have appreciated in serving Jesus. I believe she was suffering not only because of her fever, but also because of her inability to serve her guest. However, her disappointment is quickly averted when Jesus goes to her and takes her hand and helps her up. This is a resurrection moment, church. You see, the fever, what does it do? It leaves her body. And what can she do now? She can serve her guest, bringing her great honor and pleasure to do what it is that she feels is hers uniquely to do in this world, which is service. And if we see Peter's mother-in-law as representing all of us, men and women, children, young and old, who have felt Jesus' healing touch in our lives, moving us to serve others, the story can take on a much broader meaning. How often have we experienced a healing touch in our lives? A hand on our shoulder, a hug, a pat on the back. An attaboy, as my boss said to all of us last week at work. Everybody needs an attaboy. We can even see this as a resurrection story, that Jesus heals us, mind, body, and spirit, raising us from self-centered illness to sacrificial service, from death unto life, not only for ourselves, but for the world around us. It is a resurrection story, church. And on that evening that Peter's mother-in-law was healed, people brought to Jesus all who were ill and possessed by demons. You see, we're told that everyone in town, they crowded around the door. Jesus healed the sick and the possessed. And the next morning, Jesus was tired, y'all. And what did Jesus do? He went looking for a quiet, lonely place to pray and rest. And throughout all of our gospel accounts, Jesus is frequently at prayer. You see, we should take prayer seriously because Jesus did. And in his commentary on Mark a guy by the name of William Barclay, he quotes from Dr. A.D. Belden's book entitled The Practice of Prayer. He says this, he says, prayer may be defined as the appeal of the soul of God. Not to pray is to be guilty of the incredible folly of ignoring the possibility of adding God to our resources. In prayer, we give the perfect mind of God an opportunity to feed our mental powers. And prayer surely did provide strength to Jesus, didn't it? And in our lovely song we heard on Eagle's Wings, we are assured that those who wait on the Lord find renewed power. They soar on wings of eagles. They run and they don't grow weary. They walk and never tire. And God holds us in God's tender, loving care. We get the image of a tireless Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, where everything just seems to happen so immediately. Much like our own lives today, we find ourselves hurrying and scurrying around, trying to get as much done as possible. It's nice to be able to slow down and know that God is holding us in God's care. We see in the first chapter, Jesus is baptized and he's tempted in the wilderness, calls his disciples, he teaches in the synagogue, he casts out demons, heals the sick, and finally, when he's able to spend a moment alone in prayer, his disciples find him and tell him, everybody's looking for you. Rest just doesn't seem to come as much as Jesus needs it, or as much as we need it. You see, Jesus does not tell him to go away, and neither do we. When we feel called, we serve. Jesus tells him, let us move on to the neighboring village, so that I may proclaim the good news there also, for that is what I have come to do. And Jesus knew it was not about him or his needs. It was about his mission to share God's love, to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to make the wounded whole. And so Jesus still has the power to heal and make us whole this day. But sadly, not everyone is looking for Jesus. Can you imagine if people were looking for Jesus with the same intensity that they were looking for the Corona 19 vaccine in our very recent history? Oh, what a different world it would be, I would imagine. In church, in our Psalms text this morning, it tells us to praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. And y'all did a wonderful job of that this morning. For God is gracious, and a song of praise is always quite fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And in the words of the old hymn written by Joseph Scriven, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Always take it to our God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to our God in prayer. And in closing, in the words of Isaiah, did you not know? Have you not heard? God gives strength to the weary and empowers the powerless. Young women may grow tired and weary. Young men may stumble and fall, but those who wait for the Lord find their renewed power. They soar on eagle's wings. They run. They don't get weary. They walk and never tire. And so, church, let us always remember to take whatever it is to our God in prayer, that we may be healed and made whole and ready to rise and serve. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah and amen.